Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D-Lo and KC. If you'd like to join the program, please do. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. You know what's kind of crazy? And Mitch, I see you on the line. We'll get to Mitch in New Jersey here in a second. You know what's kind of crazy? Is I think that's the first time we've done a full hour of our show without like involving the Kings.
I mean, yeah, we mentioned them here and there, but yeah, I'm with you.
That was wild. Did a whole hour. Now we're going to talk about them a bunch. Lock in, everybody. Before we do that, though, Mitch in New Jersey has been waiting patiently. We appreciate you so much. Mitch, what's going on?
Kyle, James, how you guys doing?
Doing great. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I as well. First of all, slices, that's the way to go. You got to have some. You got to have the pizza in the East Coast. That's the best pizza.
Okay.
Slice, not pie. I go there. Oh, I was out there, living out there. Little Caesar.
Hey.
Pizza Hut.
Can I ask what sparked this?
Sure, go ahead.
Mitch? Yeah, what? Why are you talking to me about pizza?
Oh, because you, James, I mentioned about like 45 minutes ago.
I ran to go get pizza last
night. Oh, got it. Okay, dang. Mitch is dialed. Let's go. All right, what do you got, Mitch?
I think Buffalo shows they don't have a good defense. I, with KC, I would bank on one of the Harbor brothers getting to the Super Bowl, knocking off KC at least, because I think Detroit and Minnesota are going to be playing in the championship. That's my prediction. Now, Sam Donald and Geno Smith is having a better year than Purdy. Take note.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you.
All right.
Mitch says that, I think, every time he calls. I think if Brock Purdy had been playing for the Vikings and Sam Darnold had been playing for the 49ers, I don't think the teams are probably that much different. Just to...
Yeah.
The Vikings, I think, are just a better team than the 49ers this year. And I think Sam Darnold is benefiting from that. The interesting thing with Minnesota is, what do they do with Sam Darnold if they go to the NFC title game?
They've already said they're not going to talk contract extension with him. It's just...
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
But you just drafted a quarterback in the first round, J.J. McCarthy. If Sam Darnold gets you to the NFC title game, you're just letting him walk?
How old is Sam Darnold?
Let's see, it's 2017 draft? 2018 draft?
So what is he, 30? 28?
No, he's like 28.
27?
27. Turns 28 before next season. So next season will be his age 28 season. He wins you a playoff game. You're going to have a hard time letting him walk.
Oh, I agree. I mean, he's been really good.
Yeah.
Like his stats, 3,299 yards.
He's been outstanding.
28 touchdowns and 10 picks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been lighting it up. Shout out to Sam Darnold. Love it. Love it for our guy. And Kevin O'Connell continues to be one of the five best coaches in the NFL. All right. Sacramento Kings. Let's get this out of the way first. Shams Charania, because on December 15th, that's when players, explain this for me, acquired this offseason, signed this offseason?
Players signed to free agent contracts during the offseason are eligible to be traded as of December 15th.
Right.
So free agent acquisitions. So I think free agent acquisitions, it doesn't encompass anyone. It doesn't encompass only that. I think like a guy like DeMar DeRozan, I believe you have to wait, even though he was acquired in a sign-in trade, he was still acquired. There was a contract extension this summer.
I see, okay.
So I believe that there are dates for every single one of these guys. Doug McDermott can't be traded until like sometime in January after his contract becomes guaranteed.
Okay.
But that's because he signed late. But there are other players like... you know, hiding on the Kings roster. I even like a guy, I'm not totally positive with rookie scales, but like I think you have to wait until a certain time with even Devin Carter before you can trade him. So
we're going to start seeing all this trade stuff start to trickle out now.
Well, that's what it always heats up right now and then nothing happens.
Right.
But I kind of feel like this is a season where there might be some movement because I think there are teams right now who either realize that this is a this is the beginning of what will be a seller's market because there's too many teams that are involved. that still think they have a shot. I mean, even in the East, there's a bunch of teams that are just sitting there. And then you're going to have a couple of teams that really, really want Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to tank outside of, you know, make it a visual tank where they have to, they're sitting players and stuff. But they certainly could get to a point where they're trading away talent right now so they can be a worse team. And they can collect things like draft capital and all that stuff.
Yeah. So it's going to be a strange couple of months here before the trade deadline. But Shams Charania from ESPN is reporting that the Heat are open to trade offers on Jimmy Butler. First of all, let's dissect that.
Okay.
I think every team is probably open to trade offers on every player. Almost.
Yeah.
There's, what, probably 10 guys in the league who don't fit that.
No, I would agree with that.
But if most players are available for the right price.
Well, I mean, the Jimmy Butler thing has been really interesting because the Heat have been very clear that they have no interest in extending him if he's going to do some of the antic stuff that he's done.
Sure.
Especially in the playoffs where they're like, hey, if you're not here to win, then what are we doing?
Right. He's talking trash and not playing. Pat Riley didn't like that.
No. No, and Pat Riley also went out and was very clear, well, you're not getting an extension.
Yeah.
So he's a player who's on just like a crazy deal.
Sure.
So I think this year he's at like $48 million and he has a player option next year for $52 million. And he's telling teams right now, that's what we're reading, that he's already told teams that if you're trading for him that he's opting out of his deal. Chow, please. There's no... Kyle, there's no way he's opting out of $52 million next year.
What is he going to be, 36?
He'll be 36. He'll never get that money again.
He's not opting out of $52 million.
He's not getting $52 million in an opt-out.
Although he's kind of an odd duck. It wouldn't surprise me if he did that just out of spite, which I respect immensely.
Okay.
I wholly respect somebody who wants to be petty and be like, I've made enough money. I said I'm going to opt out, so I'm just going to do it. I might have to sign for $12 million a year, but I said I was going to opt out, and I stuck to it.
You never go
the hell with the money.
You never go full Latrell Sprewell. Like, look, there's no way he's opt. What he could do is, hey, if you're trading for me, I want a 2-year extension, and teams are going to be like, a 2-year extension on what? Like, we're not giving you a 2-year extension on the 50. Like, based off of that, you're not getting like 55 and 59,
yeah,
or 60. You're not getting a 2-year, $120 million extension on top of us paying you 50 next year, not at 37 and 38.
And not playing at the level he's playing.
Look, man, I'm not touching that trade. Like, I get it. He is a winner, but he's also like a destructive force within a franchise. He has been multiple spots.
Sure.
And so, okay, like if I'm the Kings... First of all, there's no way to afford a Jimmy Butler because...
Right. You're trading one of your massive contracts to go get him.
Well, exactly. Now literally, it's... You have to include... You can't get around it. You have to include a DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
Like, that's the only way to do it is, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Huerter and player... you're also worried...
You got to make salaries.
You got to match the salaries almost completely.
Right.
Or either you're in the luxury tax or you're above that.
And you're hard capped at 178.
178, yeah. So you're going to have to come up with close to his salary.
Yeah.
And it's outrageous. I mean, it's a lot of money. And, I don't know if it makes any sense for the... It doesn't... I'm just going to say it. It doesn't make any sense for the Kings to go chase Jimmy Butler. I put him in the same category that I put Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons at $40 million? No. No. Did she play?
I get the idea. In theory, like, prime Jimmy Butler would be exactly what the Kings need.
Sure.
Gotta go be an awesome defender, an all NBA defense.
But that's 7 years ago.
Right.
6 years ago.
Yes.
And can playoff Jimmy show up? Sure. But that doesn't mean he will. Like, because not at his age. And
he's still a good player.
Yeah.
Not worth the assets it would take to get him.
Well, plus, he just does not fit the style of play. Like, if you're all of a sudden going to go trade for Jimmy Butler, then you're just becoming, like, a straight-up no-flow offense team. Like, all of that's done. You have to scrap everything midseason and then hope that it works out. And then hope that he opts in, or maybe hope that he opts in, to a $52 million contract for next year.
Ugh. All right.
I say no.
I'm out. What about, we were talking about this at the break, just real quick. And well, I guess it actually fits because you talk about teams that are like tanking, maybe not openly. The Nets, and this has been pretty widely reported, are open for business, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the play-in tournament was supposed to incentivize teams like the Nets, who are sitting here at 10 and 14, about a quarter of the way through the season, and sitting at the number 8 seed,
mm-hmm.
right behind in the Pacers, the Bulls, the Pistons. The Sixers are down there. Not a ton of teams that it's like, oh man, that major, major threat. There's a real chance that if Brooklyn sees this thing through, they wind up in the play-in tournament. And once you're in the play-in tournament, who the heck knows what happens?
Exactly.
Yet, they're full bore on sell, 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 building for the future. They want draft picks. They're dangling Dorian Finney-Smith, Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder, who's having an outstanding year. They're dangling those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings should be interested in all of them. Maybe not Schroeder. A good player, but not necessarily a need. So the Kings should at least be interested in Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Oh, I would agree. And, like, I don't know how... Okay, so
I would imagine they are the Nets are taking calls.
In reality, the Kings, like any of the three, two of the three would make a lot of sense to mm-hmm. the Kings. I mean,
you think Schroeder still would?
Yeah, I mean, Schroeder makes sense because you just moved Malik Monk in the starting lineup. And so having a guy like Schroeder off the bench, man, that would be really, really nice. I mean, but it's a luxury piece, and Schroeder's on under contract for $13 million this year, and then he's a free agent next year. So, I mean, you're basically would just be renting him. Dorian Finney-Smith is at $14.9 million for this year. He has a player option at $15.4 for next year. And then we have Cam Johnson at $22.5 for this year, $20.5 next year, $22.5 the year after that. So you're looking at a 28-year-old who's locked up at 28, 29, and 30-year-old seasons.
Have you come around a little on Cam Johnson?
Well, Cam Johnson's played really well this season. And some of the issues that I've had with Cam in the past is, like, look, he got to that team last year, and they had no scores, and all he had to do was go out there and score.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he refused to, you know? And this year, he's figured it out. And I know he would like to stay in Brooklyn. But again, last year, he played 58 games for that team. And he averaged 13.4 points per game on a team that couldn't score and needed somebody to be more aggressive.
That's part of why they acquired him.
Yeah. With Mikal Bridges. Yeah.
Yeah. He was supposed to elevate his game over those couple of years in with an opportunity to be that dude.
Yeah. And even in his first year in Brooklyn, he was at 16.6 a game. Right now, he's averaging 18.8 points per game. He's shooting 43.4% on 7.6 points. Attempts per game.
My God.
From three. So, yeah, this is one of those guys. He shoots the free throws at 90.7. He's really close to a 50-40-90 guy right now. He's a 48-8, but with, you know, 43.4 from three and 90.7 from the free throw line. And he's a good defender. Like, there's a lot to this. He's a super athlete. And, you know, if I'm the Kings, I would at least, you know, kick the tires. He is a player who has been injured multiple times in his career and doesn't play a ton of games, but so far this season he's playing in every game, and he's kind of taken that next leap. And this is the type of player that I put, like I've said this a million times, but I put him in the category of like a Harrison Barnes, like, and I don't mean he's going to match Harrison Barnes' stats, although his stats
are
do
we
match
still talking
Harrison
Cam Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith?
Cam Johnson,
got it. Okay,
but Cam Johnson is a guy who is of the player caliber of a guy like Harrison Barnes, of a guy like Kevin Huerter, of mm-hmm. even like Malik Monk. They're like really, really good, just below all-star level players. And they're not going to make an all-star team, but if you have a bunch of these guys on your roster to go with a couple of superstars, you got an opportunity to be really good. And yeah. So I like him. I like Dorian Finney-Smith. He's a little older. He's an upgrade over Jay Crowder just mm-hmm. because he's younger. But
sure.
Realistically, he's like a younger version of, but not that much younger version, Jay Crowder.
Yeah. Like, but the exact type of player the Kings need.
Yeah.
Like, you could see where Dorian Finney-Smith would come in and play a really, really key role for them nightly.
No, totally, totally. If I had my choice, again, I would try to get two of them because I think there is a way to get two of them. It's not going to feel good. and it's, you're going to have to make some tough roster decisions. But there is a way to get, you know, again, two of these guys, whether it's Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson, or Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith, you can still work out that deal. Even acquiring a Dorian Finney-Smith and a Dennis Schroeder, mm-hmm. at like, you're looking at $28 million for the salary. So, I mean, just quick math, $28 million for the salary, you're looking at 17 for Herter, 8 for Trey Lyles, that puts you at 25, mm-hmm. and then maybe throw in a Colby Jones, that puts you at 27, and boom, the deal's done, and you didn't absorb a bunch of contract to go over the luxury tax.
Right.
So there are a lot of ways that you could work these some of these deals out. Now, they're going to want something.
I have a bunch of questions. Go on.
They're going to want draft picks.
So that was my first question. Well, yeah. Actually, hang on. So let's put a pin in the draft picks. I'm going to write that down, picks. You mentioned the luxury tax with the Kings. I think that's going to be something as trade season kind of heats up here.
Uh-huh.
I think that's going to be something that gets talked about a lot because the Kings are currently under the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that when we're talking about these trades, you said that keeps them under the luxury tax. Do you think that's something that is going to be a goal of theirs? Like, if they can acquire Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith, but the way it works out is it's going to put them over the tax, do you think they would not do that trade?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because to date, Vivek has never done it.
Right.
Right.
They've also never really been good enough.
No, I get that. I get that. I think that they would want to have as close to a net neutral trade as possible, even if that meant giving up a player that you maybe didn't want to give up, right? So not that they're out there shopping Devin Carter. I have never heard that. But like, if you don't want to give up a future first-round pick, but you have a first-round pick who hasn't played yet,
mm-hmm.
who's almost healthy, almost ready to roll, and who some people look at as like easily like a top 7-8 pick in this mm-hmm. last year's draft, okay. I mean, that might sure. be intriguing to a team.
It's an asset.
As a compensation instead of a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you're going to do that, you know, again, you got to make a decision if you need cap filler. Would Colby Jones be something that you would give up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, in a trade to balance the books. But if you're dealing with a team like the Nets and Jordy Fernandez is there and says, hey, we want this deal, but we want Keon Ellis. And you're like, okay, so that's tough.
That's tough.
Right? So giving up a young asset, I'd rather give up a second-round pick or multiple second-round picks than give up a guy like mm-hmm. Keon Ellis in a trade like that. But again, if you don't want to give up first-round picks or you want to give up, say, a lottery-protected first-round mm-hmm. pick, then you're going to have to give up assets outside of that. And so I think it's tough because, you know, it is resetting and rebooting in the middle of a season, but I think you have plenty of time to recover here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear the Kings could really use a 6'8" guy.
They got to do something.
They could really use a 6'8" and a 6'6" guy that plays defense, two defensive
more
guys.
Interchangeable, yeah.
And then for that matter, like the Schroeder thing, I've never been a huge fan of Dennis Schroeder, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't trade for him in this situation. You're looking at, again, a budget situation
mm-hmm.
where you're bringing him in on a $13 million deal that will dissolve at the end of the season. You know who he is and what he brings. He mm-hmm. he plays pace and space. He can hit threes. He can run the pick and roll. Like, if you don't think
good
Dennis
defender.
Schroeder would be good.
He's a pesky defender.
Pesky defender, yeah. Like, he would be good in this situation. 2 weeks ago, I would have said, no way. The Kings don't need Dennis Schroeder. They've mm-hmm. got Malik Monk. But now Malik Monk is in their starting lineup,
yeah.
and it changes the dynamic. And if you could get a guy who could lead something off the bench. Now, I'm not saying that the Kings are going to make a move here or not, but I do know that, you know, like these teams have talked in recently. And not only that, but like the Nets have been open for business nonstop. Like
That's crazy to me.
This is not something that, like, when Shams reported yesterday, Michael Scotto reported it earlier, well before Shams did.
Yeah.
We reported it a couple of days before that. Like, they right. are very specifically...
They are open for business.
They are open for business 100%.
Not
a
secret.
They want assets.
It's kind of crazy that they're this open for business when they're 2.5 games out of the number 6 seed.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
No,
I get it. The logic of why they would do that doesn't escape me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just always under the assumption that teams in that spot would go, all right, well, hey, we're going to hang on to these dudes because we might be able to make a little push this year. But you saw the Bulls do that and hose themselves. So
I will tell you this. I was Dave Yeager signed a 3-year contract with the Sacramento Kings, 3 or 4. And his first year, his team was DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay. They brought in Omri Caspi, and like the whole team is veteran, right? That mm-hmm. Kosta Kufis, like the whole team is a veteran squad. And then they had young players. They had Willie, but then they also, that's a year they traded for Buddy. Mm-hmm. They ended up acquiring Buddy in the DeMarcus Cousins trade. But they had also drafted, I think, Scal, Malachi, and
Justin Jackson?
No. Yorgos Papayannis.
Oh, of course.
Right? So you had this.
Oh, Justin Jackson was a Harry Giles draft. Sorry.
Yeah, that was 2017. So I was standing with Dave, and I said, hey, man, you got some young players that you got a lot of work to do on. He said, just wait till next year. Like, what do you mean, wait till next year? Because you had this whole veteran team. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, just wait till next year. And then, boom, they traded DeMarcus. Boom, they just cleared everything out.
Jeez.
And that's the 2017 draft when they bring in De'Aaron Fox. They bring in Giles and Jackson, mm-hmm. Frank Mason with early second round pick.
Oh, yeah.
And then they sign Bogdan Bogdanovic to come over from Europe. So 5 more rookies, plus they traded for Buddy. So now they had 9 first and second year players and Willie Cauley-Stein from the previous draft.
Jeez.
So Dave wasn't lying when he said, hey, just wait till next year. He knew exactly what was coming, and I think that Jordy Fernandez knows exactly what's coming, and he took that job knowing exactly what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, you got to get these players playing well so we can shop them,
mm-hmm.
and look at what Schroeder's doing, look what Cam Johnson's doing. The numbers might be inflated, but they all love playing for Jordy and want to be there.
Yeah.
Like Cam Johnson said, like, hey, I'm okay being here. I love playing for Jordy, and I would love to see this thing through and be part of the veterans that kind of mm-hmm. take this thing to the next level.
King should go get Cam Thomas.
Cam Thomas.
I love Cam Thomas. I'd buy a jersey. I'd be so happy.
That would be wild.
Not a great move. Wouldn't be the right basketball move. No. But for me personally, I would love that so much.
Well, that and Cam Thomas.
Watching 82 Cam Thomas games a year would be electric.
He does not make a lot of money, Cam Thomas.
Not perfect.
I don't believe.
Even better.
Yeah.
All right. Our guy Will Z wrote an interesting thing about the Kings offense that I would like to dive into next. Plus, I want to complain about the NBA schedule. We'll do that all in the final segment. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports.
Beal and MCL.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm there. I'm Kyle. DeMarvian Overshown, is that right? He tore all 3 of those ligaments in his knee?
That's what Drew Down is saying in the chat.
Oh, well, Drew Down's reporting it.
Well, you know. I will look to see.
I'm going to... I am checking. That is according to Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for ESPN.
Jordan
Shout out
Schultz
to Drew Down for being on it first. ACL, MCL, and PCL in his right knee. That's brutal, man.
Oh.
He's having a really, really good year, too.
He's man, that's probably tough. Not going to play all of next season.
Yeah, maybe. Man. Salute to him, hoping for a speedy recovery again. DeMarvian Overshown for the Cowboys. I tore all 3 of those ligaments in his knee last night. That's brutal.
That's wow. Tough. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Injuries suck.
They are the worst part of sports, without question. The very worst part. All right. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Want to remind everybody real quick to join ESPN 1320 in making a child's holiday season that much brighter. You can drop off new unwrapped toys here at our ESPN 1320 studios. We're at 3010 Lava Ridge Court in Roseville. We're open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are taking donations from now through Friday, December 13th. All those toys are going to stay local. All right, we're working with the Stanford Sierra Youth and Families. they especially need unwrapped presents for older youth ages 12 to 18 years old. I would really appreciate you guys if you helped us out in delivering Christmas and making a child's holiday season that much brighter. Again, Odyssey Sacramento Studios are at 3010 Lava Ridge Court here in Roseville. We're on the second floor. Come say what's up, drop off some toys, and we'd appreciate that immensely. All right. Will Z. You know him from willzstats.com, but you also know him from the Sacramento Kings SI site. He wrote a really interesting piece about the Kings' offensive identity and how that has shifted following the inclusion of Malik Monk into the starting lineup. You can read the whole piece. I'm gonna paraphrase part of it here. Basically, the Kings are running more pick and roll this year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not going to read the whole article to you. If you want to read it, check it out, si.com/NBA/Kings. They're running more pick and roll, but they're still not running it enough. And when you look at the peripheral numbers, where Malik Monk is sixth in pick and roll efficiency, and De'Aaron Fox is 14th, and DeMar DeRozan is 26th, that's very good. And all three of those players are in your starting lineup. And then you pair that with Domantas Sabonis, who is a Swiss Army knife big who can set a screen. He can roll. He can pop. He can do basically everything out of the PNR. It makes me wonder why the Kings aren't just doing this the most in the league. Because this is something the Warriors fans clamored for a long time with Golden State. Like, why is Steph Curry just not... Why are you not spamming the pick and roll with Steph Curry? Every time down, it should be Steph Curry, Draymond Green, pick and roll. And Steve Kerr's thing was like, well, because you don't want to put that much mileage on his body. Like, we're trying to preserve this 82 games and playing into April and May and June. But with the Kings, when you have three players who are excellent out of the pick and roll, I don't understand why you just don't make this a foundational piece of your offense.
No, I mean, I think we are going to see more and more pick and rolls.
And we,
right?
and we are, yeah.
Yeah, and I would even say, like you and I were discussing this before we came on, I think the thing is that you have very unique pick and roll players.
Yeah.
You still don't have the high flyer that you really need, right? And you're hoping that Isaac Jones develops into that. Although Orlando Robinson as a big body rolling to the basket has been really effective in the limited opportunities he's had. But I think one of the things I'll point out is that the three guys that you have in De'Aaron and Malik and DeMar, they're so different in how they attack the pick and roll. And so DeMar is like the best mid-range jump shooter in the NBA, and he has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that. So in the pick and roll, he can stop and pop. He can also, you know, pass out of the pick and roll. But on top of that, you've got De'Aaron Fox, who's the fastest player in the league, but he's also left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds a new element.
A little bit awkward.
He can play both hands for sure, but he can go left as well or better than almost any player in the league.
Sure.
Then on top of that, you have Malik Monk, who's right-handed, but also is a high flyer. So you've got him as like who loves the lob, right? And also can get to the rim on his own. You got De'Aaron who can get to the rim on his own at like the highest clip in the league for a guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have DeRozan who's like this stop and pop, more methodical guy. And I really do think like you should see a ton of pick and roll. And it makes sense like that they're going away from the DHO a little bit.
Yeah, just the personnel is a little different now.
Yeah, but I'll also tell you, like...
Dribble handoff, by the way.
Yeah, Domantas Sabonis leads league in screen assists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the best screen assist guy. Not only does he have a bunch of assists, mm-hmm. but he also screens that leads to points in a very dramatic way, and it's because he has these three excellent, scorers in the pick-and-roll situation. So I think, like, for my money, it does help. Like, if you have these three guys with Domas and you need one other big to sort of run this, but your shooters have to be hitting in order to keep the spacing. And this is why, like, if you want to look at them and, you know, again, go back to what Mike Brown said the other night, it's about possession after possession after possession, right? You could methodically destroy a team by just going pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll.
Because you can do it with a different ball handler every time.
Well, you can. And I would, if you look at it, I would love to see them go like old school Utah Jazz where every, you know what's coming, you mm-hmm. but you can't stop it.
Sure.
Because it's
Stockton like Malone.
So many different yeah. angles. And in the 90s, that's what they did. Just every single play was the same exact thing. You get to the Spurs in the early 2000s, every single play, mm-hmm. They're so good at what they do. And I think the Kings of the early 2000s kind of broke the mold a little bit where mm-hmm. they did the high pick and roll. They did the Princeton offense the whole time.
Yeah.
But they were so, like, it was so beautiful to watch because they had all of these other moving pieces. Mm-hmm. I think the Kings are trying to be a combination of both, and they'll get there. But already, I mean, we're seeing the offensive rating since Malik Monk stepped into the starting lineup is just astronomical.
Yeah.
Like, their points per game is, like, 127.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Well, it helps when you score 281 across two games.
No, that's true, but...
Against the Spurs and Jazz.
Again, we talked about this yesterday. Their assists, they've had over 30 assists yeah. in 4 to 5 games, including 39.
Yeah.
Like, that's where this thing is heading. And you're like, hey, why didn't you do this before? It's like, well, you still don't have the pieces to do what you're doing
mm-hmm.
because eventually your players are going to run out of gas because you still don't have the other pieces.
Right, right.
And it's working really well because Kevin Huerter decided to start hitting his shots.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are so many intricate pieces to this, but I do think the Kings are onto something. And I think that's mm-hmm. why we both believe coming into the season it's a 50-win team.
Yeah.
Because they have amazing offensive weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is they've got to get better defensively, but they also have to be more consistent with what they're doing. You can't yeah. have one night where, you know, Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox hit a whole bunch of threes, and then the next night the combo go 1 for 20.
Yeah.
It's like you cannot have that type of inconsistency and expect to win.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and that's what it's going to be about. Like the last couple games have been awesome. They were really, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, but it was great first steps. You love to see that, uh-huh. but now it's about that consistency and finding that. And I think one of the ways you can find that is this. Like you can spam pick and roll whenever you want, and you don't have to gas out one player to do it. It can be Malik Monk sometimes. It can be De'Aaron Fox sometimes. It can be DeMar DeRozan. And you already said it. The shots you're going to get off each of those are all going to be different. So you have the playmakers to do it, and to me, it may not be something that Mike Brown wants to do. It may not, and I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know. It may not be something he wants to do, but to me, the personnel dictates, like, man, this is probably your best option.
Well, I don't think that Mike wants to scrap everything mid-season. I think that's sure. a bigger issue, but you're going to start seeing more and more and more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the offensive side of the ball is working like a well-oiled machine, you become more and more efficient and your players conserve more and more energy in that, yeah. in that efficiency,
mm-hmm.
which means you can use that on the other end.
Yeah.
And
sure.
hey, look, I think everyone knows like the more efficient an offense is, the better they are defensively, typically, because you get back and set your defense. It's easier mm-hmm. to set your defense with the ball coming out of the net than it is in transition and or off a rebound and you know, here we go, right? And so the Kings, if they become the team they were 2 years ago if with their offensive efficiency, that will naturally help their defense set up.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not they improve on that end of the court and, you know, sort of earn the trust that Mike wants to instill in them. Mm-hmm. But you got to play on both sides.
We won't see the Kings again until Thursday, where they take on the New Orleans Pelicans, which feels a lot less daunting now than it did this time last year. But the Kings don't play till Thursday, in part because of the NBA Cup schedule, and I think the NBA Cup schedule sucks.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the NBA Cup. I like the in-season tournament. I was against it at first. I'm in now. But there was one basketball game last night.
Mm.
It was Knicks at Raptors. Karl-Anthony Towns, by the way, 24-15-6. Hooping. The Knicks are figuring it out. Minnesota, not so much. But anyways, now you get two quarterfinal games tonight. It's Orlando at Milwaukee, Dallas at Oklahoma City. Good games. Fun yeah. games. I'm in. But I would just, give me all the quarterfinals tonight. Give me all four. Just give me all four at once. I know there's going to be some overlap, which I know they don't want. I know they want to maximize the TV. They sold it for TV. I get all that. But I just, you had one game last night. You get two tonight. You get two tomorrow night. You've got the, you've got teams like the Kings who played on Sunday and don't play again until Thursday. Ugh. I don't like that. Like, okay, the goal is maximizing this time of year. And I feel like by not having games or having so few games, you're having the opposite effect.
Okay, so here's my, I have two issues. Number one, the Kings now, would they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they don't play again until like what, Sunday? Like, there's, I think they only have two games this week.
Yeah, Thursday, and then is it Sunday again?
Yeah, it's not Saturday for sure.
Huh.
So they have this huge break, right? I don't like seeing a break right now when you crammed the first 15 games into 26 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got teams that are...
They don't play again until Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So again, all those days we're wondering where those days go, they're right here.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're going to do this, I'm going to make some other weird... If you're going to do that, then you can't do the December 15th deadline for a contract sign in the offseason. You have to move it to December 1st.
Sure.
Because then it allows teams that don't make the plan to go out, acquire players, and have them ready when you re-kick off the season. And you can say, well, you know, like, how much of a reboot is it? Hey, man, two games in 8 days? That's crazy talk for NBA standards.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Kings are going to play one game in 7 days. Thursday.
Yeah, Sunday, they played Sunday, December 8th. They play again December 12th, and they don't play again until December 16th.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying, though? Like, if
one game in a week is nuts, dude.
December 15th, you can't trade a player that was acquired during the summer, that was signed during the summer, until December 15th. But if you had this week here to prep your players and get your rotation going and have a couple of practices with one or two new players, it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, I hate, like, just like schematically, there's no reason for the December 15th thing is some mystical date that,
yeah,
I think it's 6 months from whatever.
Right. Some point of the calendar.
Yeah. It has some sort of significance to somebody. But if you're going to mess with the schedule this much to add the in season tournament, mm-hmm, you probably should adjust some other dates to make it more.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I will say, I like the matchups tonight.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's playing better. Orlando's now without Franz Wagner.
Oh, that's tough.
Who tore his oblique, which is the same injury that Paolo Banchero is dealing with.
Yeah.
Correct?
They're 17-9, and they're
brutal.
I don't know how they hold up. Man, Wagner's played so well.
But Dallas at Oklahoma City is fun. And I like the stakes. Like, the fact that there are stakes in these games is great.
Mm-hmm.
Only two of them? I want all four games tonight. That's all.
Well,
is that too much to ask for?
Even if you want to just highlight those games, but then have like a couple of the other games just go on, so you don't have this huge like time off. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
let's
seems
bring
weird.
Damian Barling in the building. It's time for that. Oh, that's my fault. I got you.
Nope, that's good.
You do it.
We'll learn.
You do it.
Here we go.
We're
gonna
do it. We're gonna learn how to do a radio show someday. Damian Barling, D'Lo and KZ coming up here at noon. You like the NBA Cup scheduling? I'm not a fan. I don't like that there was one game last night, two tonight, two tomorrow. Maybe the stakes of the games will make it okay that there's only two, but I think you can do all four quarterfinal games tonight.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I wonder if they're still kind of working out like the issues with it, but ultimately I think it just comes down to the broadcast partners and what the broadcast partners want.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
What the players want, what the league wants, what the fans want, don't really matter. What the broadcast partners want does, and these guys get standalone games. And obviously, that was a big part of the selling point for
sure.
You know, Amazon, NBC, everything that's happening next year.
Sure.
I was just telling Kyle, we were wondering, you know, that first 15 games that were played in 26 days. Now we know why. It's right here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, one game in a week.
One game
in the middle
week
of an NBA season is crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
When you walked in, we were also talking like, if you're going to do the December 15th deadline, but then you're going to have all this time off for some of these teams, mm-hmm, you probably should have moved it to December 1st. Mm-hmm. So then that way, if you did make trades, you could have this
an acclimation period.
Yeah, an acclimation period during the season. So kind of a difficult thing.
It's interesting. It is like a second. It's kind of like a mini All-Star break.
But
here.
See, I like that where the trade deadline is right before the All-Star break. So then when you come out of the break, you've got time. You might have one or two games before the break with the players. Yeah. But then you have all this time.
Right.
Right? To like build up, you know, maybe two or three practices where you can get guys in. And even during an All-Star break, a week off, they can all sit there and have the playbook and have a whole bunch of stuff that they're going through on their own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing.
We're talking about, we talked a lot about the NFL like postseason picture and how the Chiefs are, if the Chiefs were the Steelers and just doing exactly what they've done this year, okay, I'd be being like, oh, this is very fraudulent. This 12-1 is very fraudulent. But because it's the Chiefs, they get the benefit of the doubt. You don't believe that.
Sure. I guess.
The Chiefs get the benefit of the doubt.
No, they do. Yeah, they absolutely do. Yeah, that's, yeah, absolutely. They 100% against get the benefit of the doubt. I just don't think the Steelers are fraudulent.
Oh, no, I don't think the Steelers are fraudulent either.
Oh.
I'm saying pick a different team then. If Denver was doing what
I got you. The Chiefs did, would be like,
that's not for real.
Okay, I got you. Sure. Yeah, yeah. The Steelers did it a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
It's like, this is fake.
I think that's why the Steelers
are in my head. You're an 11-1 team, like, okay, pal.
And then they didn't win a playoff game, right?
No.
I think they lost in the first round. Is that the one where they got smoked by the Browns?
Yes.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And they're 10-3 right now, and you're like,
I actually think Pittsburgh's good.
I
think there's a really clear, to me, the top tier in the AFC is Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Are in that second tier.
Baltimore is frustrating me.
Well, and Texans too. Like, I put Texans in that next
tier.
In
the second tier? Houston's tier three for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't put...
Their offensive line.
I wanted Houston to be in tier two so bad.
Yeah.
They cannot be in tier two.
CJ Stroud has regressed a little bit. Well, line stinks.
Leave CJ alone. He's having a moment.
You want to hear some other quarterbacks I don't like?
They're above, like, the Chargers and Denver. Like...
I'll give you that. Yeah, yeah, I'll give you. Yeah, for sure. I'll give you that.
Are they above the Chargers?
I think so.
I put them in.
I think so. I like Houston more than
any reason
Los
why?
Angeles. CJ. I like CJ more than Justin Herbert. I like Harbaugh is a hell of a coach.
A good coach.
I think I just like the overall. I mean, I think it's tough too. We forget they played a part of this season without Nico.
Sure.
They lost Stephon for the entire year.
They lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Thursday night, though. That was a Thursday night in New York. That's a Thursday night in New York. I called that game. Okay. I was like, I don't like this for Houston at all.
Okay, let's rewind it to November 24th where they lost to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's not okay.
And you sneak past the Jags?
A win's a win. It's not okay. You can't lose to Tennessee. I'll excuse New York. That's a Thursday night game on the road. I don't care about that one, but you can't lose to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee, that's a 3-win team?
Is it that many?
It's at least 3.
Yeah, 3-10. Yeah, 3-10.
Yeah, Nico's missed 5 games. He got another 3 games that Joe Mixon's missed. Like, they had that. So they've had some injuries that they dealt with.
I think the Tennessee game was with Joe Mixon out. I could be right, but I think...
Their offensive line is so bad. That's the problem. I don't think it's CJ Stroud. I don't think it's Nico Collins. I don't think it's their. I've not followed the Texans close enough, but apparently Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, has come under fire for the way he calls games, which may be a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I'm not buying Houston anymore.
TexansWire.com?
Well, that's a thing. That's not where I'm reading.
Okay, I was just asking.
Yeah, no. Shout out to TexansWire.com.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Titans Wire was great. 49ers Wire is great. I was just making sure. Plugging the right websites.
Appreciate you. What do you got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Trista's coming up at 2. Jason's coming up at 3. There's obviously stuff out there from Shams Charania. Kind of starting to look at the trade market a little bit. Bobby Marks posted a very in-depth piece on ESPN about the 85 players who are eligible to be traded here in a couple of days. And we've really romanticized this December 15th date, man. It's not that freaking interesting. It's really not. Like, I'm going over the players that are available now. It's like, this is not interesting. Like, they have absolutely manipulated us into believing this is a thing. This is not a thing.
Yeah.
It's really not. But it's out there, so we'll go over some of that stuff. And then I finally went back and watched Mike's pregame press conference yesterday or Sunday. And it was interesting. I have some takeaways from that we'll talk about.
Can't wait.
It was, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was. He was clearly in a mood and he had a lot to say. And I thought it was interesting. It was, I mean, it was 16 minutes and he was really in depth with what he was talking about before that Utah game that they wound up winning by 40. So whatever he's saying in the locker room worked.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. See you.